Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interactive Media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and
you are listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on liveparanormal.com.
Of My Darkest Hour Radio. I am your host, Stefan Brigati, and thanks for joining me on this Thursday evening. I want to give a shout out to everybody at liveparanormal.com and everybody at Blog Talk Radio making this happen. I want to give a shout out to all the people in the chat room and all the monitors and all the people who do all the production work behind the scenes to make all of this stuff happen. Real excited to continue to tell you guys about the news about My Darkest Hour TV series. It's going to be great. We're doing a lot of filming. I want to say thank you for all the support that we've had for that. So we're going to be bringing that to you guys real soon. If you want to find out a little bit more, you can go to paraflix.net and learn a little bit more about that. So meanwhile, back here in iHeartRadio Land and History FM Radio, on the show tonight is my guest, Becky Mikiti Gidderson. Gidson. I'll have to figure that out when I get her on the show. But like we all know that I'm known as the Butcher because I just keep slaughtering all these people's names. And I practice all the time at the big paracons and stuff prior to, and yet I still get their names wrong. So this is a great learning spot for me. Anyway, Becky is paranormal investigator, and she's a founder and lead investigator of Tucson Ghost Society. Also, she owns the business Tucson Ghost Company, which is a big ghost tour company for Tucson, doing all the ghost walks and helping you with the history of haunted locations. It's a great ghost experience for those who want to get out, get some fresh air, and go check out some stuff. You're in that area, I would definitely recommend it. If you go to the event pages, you can see I put a few links up to their web pages so you can find out a little bit more as we go along tonight. So let's go ahead and get the show started, and let's bring her in from the green room to get her in here. Hello, Becky. Are you there?
Yes. Hi. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. As you probably heard the intro, I probably butchered your last name. So can you tell us how to pronounce your last name?
Yes, it's actually Guideson.
Guideson.
Yep.
Okay. Is that Nordic or something? What is that?
I don't know. Honey, what is that? It's Dutch.
Okay, cool. Close. Nice. Well, thanks for coming on the show and spending some time with us. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the ghost tours and stuff, and of course about what you guys do as a team. But when I bring people onto the show, my first question always is going back to the beginning. Everybody has their story, how they got involved in the paranormal. And some people can relate, some people have new stories. So let's hear your story of how you got involved in the paranormal for all the listeners out there.
Well, basically, I've paranormal experiences my entire life. I grew up in a haunted house and lived in haunted places throughout my life. And when I realized that people actually do talk about this stuff, I found a ghost tour, went on one, and basically everything just kind of fell in my lap after that.
Cool. So you grew up in a haunted house, so you've always been kind of in that environment. So did that further your interest into the paranormal?
Yeah, it got me curious. Growing up in the house, not so much. But when I was older and I lived in an apartment that was haunted, that's when it really kind of sparked my interest. I was kind of like, why, how, you know, I didn't understand, and it kind of made me want to learn more.
Cool. Tell us a little bit about the house. What kind of things were happening in the house?
Well,
and how old were you then?
I was raised in a house, so I lived in it basically since I was like a year old to about 14. And the house was actually in Toledo, Ohio, and it was built in the 1800s. So it was an old house, which I think also gave me my love for historical buildings.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just always that creepy old house feeling, you know, you always felt like you were being watched. There were rooms that I refused to go in after dark. That would be the upstairs and the basement. I never wanted to go in that area after dark. And it was just that creepy old feeling. And we had, you know, a few little weird things that would happen, but, you know, we always threw it off as nothing major. At least that's what my family would tell me. I'm not sure if they were trying to not freak me out or what, but, you know, we just kind of blew it off. But when we moved out, people we knew actually moved in, and that's when I heard more about the hauntings. I guess whoever resided in the house, they were fine with us being there, but once we left, apparently they didn't like it because the new people were having things thrown at them.
Oh, wow.
And all kinds of bad things going on. So apparently the spirits were fine with us. They didn't like the new people. So.
Well, they didn't say we're throwing
these
moves, but it's funny that, and that happens, you know, you get these spirits that are used to your company being there. So they kind of intertwine and live together all happily, but then you guys move out and somebody else moves in and the chemistry is not correct. They're like, who's this guy? This guy, and they start redecorating and moving stuff around, which confuses the ghost. Like, dude, what are you moving all the furniture for? What's going on? Yeah. So that happened. That's funny.
Yeah, that's basically what happened. And I just thought it was weird because I always had a feeling something was there, but like I said, it was pretty, you know, just laid back with us. As long as I didn't go in those certain areas after dark, it was fine.
Yeah, all those creepy spots. That's funny.
And
What about the, when you moved out into your apartment, was it different spirits, you think, or do you think something came along with you?
No, I definitely think it was something different because it was quite a few years in between. I had actually moved out to Tucson and then moved back to Toledo. And when I had moved back to Toledo is when I moved into this apartment. And I just I felt weird in this apartment. I didn't like this feeling. I didn't like being in the bathroom, you know, after dark especially. I'm a claustrophobic person. I don't like tight, small spaces. And the only room in the house that I felt comfortable in was the smallest room. So that tells you something about that place. And it just, one night, I was home and I had my, you know, daughter at the time. She was only like maybe two. And all of a sudden I heard a crash and I didn't know where that came from. And I went exploring and it turned out a picture on my wall had like flipped and broke. And I think that's what kind of sparked my curiosity, because I was like, how can that flip? You know, how does that happen? Because I could actually see like the little hanging part of the frame sticking out. And I couldn't figure out how that happened. And I think that's what really kind of sparked my interest of, okay, how do they do this? How do they get that energy? How is that possible? And I think that's what really started sparking it.
That is interesting. And what was the picture of? Was it anything significant? Was it a picture of a family member or anything?
No, it was actually, I'm a huge animal lover. And so at the time, my living room was done in dolphins. So it was a picture of dolphins. And it had just flipped. And the picture, it was like a poster. And that was on the floor. The broken glass was on the floor. But the frame was flipped on the wall. And for the life of me, I was like, how? You know, I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah, like it just fell apart or something. Doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. And it was so funny because I kept saying that the place was haunted. I was like, it's haunted. Something's here. And my ex was like, nope, you're crazy. There's nothing here. And when that happened, I was like, then how does that happen? And no one could explain it. You know, I showed it to a couple people and everyone's like, I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, but it's not a ghost, but I can't explain it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, my ex was the one that said it was the wind, so I was like, yeah, okay.
Well, sometimes they have to say that to make themselves feel more secure, because sometimes something freaks them out, the first thing you just do is denial. Oh, that can't be that. There's no way that's that. It has something to be something else. So, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Or it helps you sleep better at night, whatever, you know. Well, all right. So you have this inspiration to go getting more and more involved in the paranormal to find out some more answers. So what did you do when you wanted to pursue those questions? Did you start researching? Did you go out with some friends to start the basics, like people go to cemeteries and stuff like that? What was your first move in getting further into the paranormal?
Well, in all reality, I didn't, even after that incident and after a lot of things that had happened to me, I didn't really talk about it until I met my husband that I'm with now. And I think we were just flipping channels one night and we saw the show Ghost Hunters, and I asked him if we could go ahead and watch it. And it was after the show that I was worried about bringing it up to him, because I was always called crazy for stuff like this. But I basically asked him if he believed in ghosts, and he actually said that he had seen one before. So that made me feel better.
Nice.
So with talking to him, I started telling him, you know, my interests and all my experiences. And I did start looking, you know, at paranormal books. And then I started looking for a tour in Tucson, and there wasn't one. So I found the nearest tour I could and went on the ghost tour and got to know the owner of that one. And she used to have a tour in Tucson, and she basically let me buy it. And like I said, it all fell in my lap. Basically, the minute I started looking into the paranormal, it all came to me.
Wow, almost like it was some kind of destiny.
Yeah, it was just everything just right after one another just came right to me. I went looking for it to research it, but I didn't go looking for everything that I ended up with.
Okay, cool. So when you first started going out and investigating, like what kind of evidence were you getting?
All kinds. It quite honestly, if you ask any member of my team or anyone that knows me pretty well, they will say the paranormal finds me. So whenever we would go out, they basically learned that cameras should be on me, recorders should be next to me. we've had a lot of different experiences and a lot of different things happen, and it always seems like I'm the one that gets scratched, marked, name called, what have you. It seems like it's always me.
Okay, so you're a ghost conduit. They're attracted to you then.
Yeah, basically.
Good. Have you been tested or done any experiments to see if you're a psychic or some kind of intuitive?
By many, many people that I am. I've been told that I don't even know how many times. And everyone says the same thing. I'm the one that turns it off. So I haven't really looked into it. And I think it's because of the fact that I kind of want to remain a skeptic on some levels, because
mm-hmm.
I feel that the only way to be a good investigator is to also be a skeptic.
Yeah, well, you have to. I mean, you got to look at everything skeptically, and then whatever you're left over, of course, is what you have to decide from, whether it's paranormal or not. Yeah, that makes sense. And that's how it should be. People shouldn't be like, everything's a ghost and everything's blah, 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 and they run in there and just say, yeah, it's all this, because you're not challenging the questions. That's what we have to do, because there's things in the world that seem paranormal, and they're pretty normal. Not saying that paranormal is
right.
Not really normal, because paranormal is pretty much normal, but we're still trying to figure out details, I guess, so to speak. And so, yeah, you have to be skeptical when you're dealing with stuff to be legitimate.
Yeah, and I guess that's probably the reason that I turn it off, because of the fact that I want to prove it more than just go off a feeling.
Yes, exactly. When I started doing that stuff, I was the same way. You know, I've been doing this for 30 years, and I went to get into it. I really wanted to go hardcore science-based. But then
mm-hmm.
I started working with other psychics and using different abilities, and it kind of opens that doorway. But it's always great to have that concrete proof to really talk about something, something you can show people. So that gets real exciting.
Right.
So, when you started doing it, did you use any equipment to get you started?
Basically, we started from scratch, and I think the very first piece of equipment my husband got me, I think, was the REM pod. And I think he got me that
cool.
for a Valentine's Day gift.
Oh, how nice. How romantic.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, and it was so funny, though, because I basically, you know, and I think I even posted this online that, you know, some girls want flowers and chocolates, and I wanted ghost hunting equipment, and that's what I got. So
that's funny. But that works. Even with my wife, every time we go out somewhere for like our anniversary, we're always ending up at some haunted hotel or some crazy place investigating. So, but it's,
yeah,
that's our thing. You know, that's romantic to us.
Hey,
very
you're in
cool.
dark buildings, you know.
Yeah. Well, when I proposed to her, I wanted to make it real special, so I had to find a castle. And I happened to be speaking at a convention in Ione, California, at a place called Preston Castle. And it was perfect. It was dark. There was bats flying around the old bell tower. The full moon was out. I mean, it was just perfect Nightmare Before Christmas type situation, and I proposed, and it was just really cool, you know. But I want her to feel like a princess,
sweet.
And I had to find a castle. Very cool. So let's talk about where you've gone to investigate. Like, what are some of the key places that you've gone to, and specifically, what is your favorite place you've been to?
Oh, my. My team has done residential cases along with businesses, and I have gone places without my team because my husband and I will, like, you know, you and your wife will go out and we'll take, you know, romantic getaways to haunted places. I know that sounds weird to some people, but to us it's cool. And I love it. And gosh, we've done so many different places, and I want to go back to Birdcage. I love it there.
I love that place too.
Yeah, I just wish it wasn't so expensive. But
really,
I
it's expensive.
It's expensive to investigate for just your team.
Really?
And,
it was just me and my wife were just hanging out there, and they let us in there all alone for 3 hours.
Oh wow! Yeah,
for nothing.
We've never been that lucky. Yeah, we paid to investigate there, and we wanted to go back, and we just, you know, we're nonprofit. You know, we do this, you know, for free when it comes to clients. And so it's hard for a team to pay to get into places. I mean, I understand these places have bills to pay too, but it's like, it's hard. And especially with 2020, I mean, come on, we've all got hit hard with that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We wanted to go back to Birdcage, but we just can't afford it right now, unfortunately. But we did do it once before, and I had some really good experiences there, actually. That was one of the places to where I was wearing what my husband would call like a fanny pack, because I had like all my equipment and stuff in it.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting down, and there's a little girl that haunts the place, and her name is Sally. And I have 4 daughters of my own. So I was talking to Sally, you know, telling her that I had daughters and all these things. And my lap got freezing cold, and my co-lead investigator, May, felt that my lap was freezing cold. And she saw, it's probably Sally, keep talking to her. So I kept talking, and all of a sudden, I just happened to look down, and May was looking down at my lap, too. And the zipper of the little pack thing that I was wearing started to raise up and unzip by itself.
What?
And
wow.
As soon as I saw that happen, I, like, threw my hands up in the air, pointed down to my pouch, and I'm like, I'm not doing that. And Maeve's like, no, you're not. It was, like, the most amazing thing. And, of course, these were one of our first investigations, so we didn't realize I should always be in front of the camera at the time. So there was no cameras on me at the time. And it was like, oh, I would have loved to have caught that. Because that was just so amazing, and I'll never forget that. I think that was one of those experiences that both, you know, May and I were like, oh, my God, look, you know, that's cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, and that's the thing, that's why I was asking about if you've been tested to be, if you're psychic or have that kind of experience, because on the spirit side, people with those kind of abilities seem to be heightened. So we tend to shine a little bit more, so to speak. So the spirits are attached to that energy, that light, and they'll pick
right.
you out, you know, and start trying to make contact with you and start having fun, sitting on your lap,
oh,
whatever
yeah.
it is, you know.
Oh yeah, they definitely like to do that with me.
Oh, cool! How fun is
I
that?
I think the latest one was when I was helping out Fox Theater here in Tucson. I have a really good relationship with them, and they're going through a hard time right now, too.
Mm.
And we did some Halloween events for them, but they were small. And one night after everyone had left, we decided to stay because we could tell that the spirits were being active that night because they kept playing with the lights, like dimming the lights, making them brighter, making them dim again. So that night I had May and Raina with me. And I told them, I said, let's stay after. I'm like, they're being active tonight. I can tell. And we stayed after, and I could have sworn I saw someone in the audience that wasn't my team. And then about 2 to 3 minutes after I thought I saw someone, my shirt got tugged on so hard that it made me jump. I've never had my shirt tugged on that hard before. And I was like, oh, my God. I think I cursed because it was unexpected. And then I apologized to them for cursing, of course, but it was hard. And I think that was the last thing that we've really experienced was that happening to me. And that was back in October because we haven't done really too much since then. But
yeah, it's hard to get out, but when you can, it's always great to get out and do some investigative work. So
yeah,
how long have you been working with your team?
Well, I've had the team since about probably 2014, because I started the company in 2013, and the team kind of came a little bit later. But May's been with me since the very beginning, and some of the other team members have been on it for about 2 to 3 years now.
Cool. For those of you who are listening, you're listening to My Darkest Hour Radio. My guest tonight is Becky McKitty. We're talking about the Tucson Ghost Tours and, of course, the Tucson Ghost Company, which is their paranormal team. Or is that – no, that's the team, right? That's Tucson Ghost Company?
Yeah, Tucson Ghost Society is my team.
Tucson Ghost Society. Yeah, there we go. So you guys following us out there, you can go to TucsonGhostTours.com, and there's even a little link there for the society page. You can learn a little bit more about them. And like I'm saying, for you people who are in the area, definitely hit them up and get out there and get some fresh air and get that ghost walk on. So on the ghost walk itself, you're taking everybody to like historical places or places that had just basically have known to have ghost activity?
It's actually both. Most of our downtown is historical. And a lot of places down there actually have a haunted history. Our tour is 90 minutes long, and it could be so much longer, but we have learned that if you make it longer than 90 minutes, you kind of tend to lose people because it gets hot in here.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, right now, not so much, but during the summer, after about 90 minutes, people are ready to be out of the heat. So we keep
they start getting hungry. They want to drink something. They start checking out because they're getting tired. Yeah.
Yep.
Makes sense. And what kind of places, where do you guys actually go to? Like any places that we would know of?
There's a lot of places downtown. We hit Fox Theater, the company that I work with. We hit Hotel Congress. But we start at La Cucina. Actually, they go by LaCo now. We've been starting there since almost the very beginning. I think I went 2 months at a different starting point, and then I met the people at LaCo, and they've been my home base ever since. That's where I would do my ghost experiences, but unfortunately that's been closed for over a year because of COVID. But they have a lot of history. That whole place is part of the original fort of downtown Tucson that used to be around the downtown area, I guess you could say. And so it dates back to like 1875 for that. And even earlier, you know, for, you know, other things. But the fort went into place then. And it's changed hands so many different times and has been so many different historical things. And there's several spirits that are there at LaCo. And we love them because, you know, when we have the ghost experience, play games with us sometimes. And they tend to be entertaining from time to time.
Yeah, they probably want to like interact with people. They're like, cool, here they come again.
Yeah, I'm sure they're probably lonely because LaCo basically has been closed down for most of the time. I think they reopened for only like a month or two, and then they closed down again. So I'm sure the spirits there are getting very lonely because they were used to us going in there at least, you know, once or twice a month and all the people being around, and it's just been pretty much silent there, so... I'm sure when we go back, they're going to be like, oh, you're back. Yay.
Yeah. Someone to talk to you. Someone to hang out with us. You know, something different going on. And that's what they need.
Exactly.
They need that extra energy coming through, making the place more lively. So that's good that you're still going out there and paying your respects to them and having some fun with the spirits. That's cool.
Yeah, we try our best.
Do you guys pass out equipment for everyone to try out, or do you recommend they bring equipment?
On the walking tour, we don't. We used to, but we noticed that on the walking tour, it's a lot, or it gets put in pockets, and we don't get it back. So we stopped doing that on walking tours. On the ghost experience, which is more of a ghost hunting thing, we give out equipment on that one because we're literally locked locked into the courtyard and buildings of Laco, so they can't escape with my equipment. But like I said, that one hasn't ran in probably about a year now because we had to shut down with Laco shutting down. Only the walking tour is going on right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
90 minutes of walking.
Yeah. You get your exercise.
I'm thinking about that. I'm like, wow, I could ride my skateboard, but it makes sense. You know, take your time, enjoy the outsides as long as it's not too hot. You know, get that get that cardio up and see some ghosts. I mean, definitely recommend it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and you get the history of downtown. We've had people come on the tour that lived here their whole life, and they're like, I never knew that, you know. So we try to – I always tell, you know, my ghost hosts that help me with the tours, every bit of history you give, make sure you also give that ghost story. So it's kind of like a half and half tour. It's half history and half ghost tour.
Okay. Now, what's the difference between the Tucson Ghost Tour and then the Tucson Ghost Experience?
The Tucson Ghost Tour is the walking tour. That's that 90-minute tour where we tell the ghost stories and the history. The Ghost Experience is at one place, the one place only, and that's the Laco. And that's where we haven't done it in the year, but what we would do is we would literally lock you into Laco, so you cannot escape unless you went and saw my husband, Will, and because he always had the key. And we literally lock you in. We give you equipment. We put out, you know, like stationary equipment. And we basically teach you how to ghost hunt, how to investigate. And we just have that quick little rundown on what you do and how to talk to them and how to respect them. And we interact with them and try to get them to come out. And some nights they're very, very active and they want to be out and play with you. And other nights they're like, eh, we don't want to be bothered. but it's a lot of fun. They're very friendly. They're very funny. We've had a lot of interesting things happen from time to time. So when they're active, I love it. Of course, we all love it when it's an active place.
Oh, totally. When it's not active, you're like, eh, history's great, but you know what's going on. But when they're active and they want to have fun with you, then it makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And we've had a lot of different things happen there. We've had a radio turn on. We've had voices heard. We've had people get touched and their clothes tugged on. There's spirits of animals there, too, so people have felt like an animal brush up against them. And there's been a lot of interesting things that have happened there. I've had things move on their own. And it's been interesting.
That's funny. So have people had crazy experiences with the point where they've had to leave your tours?
Not that I'm aware of. I think some people have gotten freaked out here and there, but I don't think anyone's ever really left.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at my husband because he always had the keys, so he was always the one that had to let people out. But no, I don't think anyone's ever really left because they got freaked out. And I think that's mainly because at the very beginning, I always warn them that everything there is friendly. And as long as you keep it, you know, respectful, they'll keep it respectful. And so I think for the most part that make them feel more comfortable with it and so they don't freak out with it.
Yeah, it kind of prepares themselves for that, you know, for something and but still, if something pops up, it still startles you. But that's good.
Yeah.
I've been to some crazy places. I've been a guest paranormal investigator on some TV events, and one of them was we were investigating the American Horror Story house, the mansion.
Uh-huh.
And there was a couple of contest winners that had to spend the night, and one of them couldn't make it through the whole night because it was just too active. They had to get let out. But that stuff has some pretty negative stuff sometimes there, so I don't blame them. I get it.
Yeah. There's a lot of times, you know, because I always get asked, you know, have you ever been scared? And the thing is I've never really been scared, but it's that shock factor, though. You know, you will jump, you know, when something touches you or pulls your hair or whatever, you will jump because you do that even when a regular person does that to you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just that shock factor. It's not a fact of really being scared and running out of the building. It's just, oh, I didn't expect that. And so I always tell, you know, the spirits, hey, if I jump or if I scream, it's no disrespect. It's just I didn't expect it. You know, so don't worry if you do that to me, and I apologize if I curse when you do it. It's just unexpected. So because of that, I've never ran out of a building, so to say. I've never really left anything. There's only been, I think, twice in all the investigations that I've been on that I did have to walk away, run out, and I don't, like, leave, so to say. I just will have to sometimes walk. Well, it's been actually more than twice. But I just have to walk away. There's been only one case that I didn't go back in. And that wasn't my investigation. That was a public investigation. And that was because of the fact that people were being very rude and not taking it seriously, because I think there's about four or five people that were drunk and basically making fun of the situation. And this is another reason why people say I'm very sensitive, because of the fact that we were in the building. Those people were being rude and mean. I felt that the spirit was angry. And so I told my husband, we need to leave. I'm like, this spirit is not happy, and I don't want to be the blunt of it. So we left because of the fact that I didn't want anything happening to me, because of the fact that I could sense the anger. So that's the only time I've
ever been back. If you're the sensitive that's communicating with the spirit or making contact with the spirit, it's going to be like, hey, you go tell them, you know, that kind of stuff, getting all aggressive. Like, these people are disrespecting and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, you don't want to be the middle person and all that stuff. It's better to just get out of there, you know, because when they start disrespecting stuff, it's just the whole energy just goes sour. And it's not fun for the people or the spirits anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's when I was like, and I want to go back to that building, but I want to do it privately, and I don't want to do it with a group because of the fact that I don't want to piss it off. there's no way. But other than that, I've walked away from situations mainly because of the fact that I get sick. And so I have to walk away because I feel sick, and then once I start to feel better, I go back. But I've never really walked off of case or anything like that.
Yeah, that's good. But I totally understand what you're talking about. Sometimes you have to make those points. You know, people shouldn't be drinking or doing anything before going to these places, you know, for safety reasons as well.
Yeah.
You know, we all know. They go there and they have lunch beforehand or whatever, and they're having a few beers or some glasses of wine and get a little lightheaded. And they start doing stuff like that, but then again, they're not paying attention. They're walking around the dark. They could fall down the stairs. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen, and you just want to avoid that as much as possible.
Yeah, and some of these buildings, I mean, they're not always the safest places to be. There's, you know, little places in some of these buildings that you've got to watch where you're stepping and what you're doing. And I'm a big advocate on the fact that you never go ghost hunting alone, because of the fact that you always want someone there in case something happens. You never trespass because of the fact that these buildings can be unsafe. And you never go in drunk.
Yeah.
And you're always respectful. Those are like the main things I always preach to people that come on to my things, because of the fact that if you're not doing things the right way, you're just ruining it for yourself, others, and the spirit. So it's not a good combination.
Yep. Yeah, it's supposed to be win-win for everyone. Everyone having a good time.
Oh, yeah.
So what's in the near future for you guys? What do you guys have planned next when things start lightening up?
You know, that's a very good question and a very funny one, because of the fact that I honestly can't tell you right now. Oh.
Okay, well, what would you want to do?
Well, this is, you know, I have some ideas, and we're having a team meeting within the next couple weeks to go over what we are all wanting to bring to the table and all wanting to do. I have some really major thoughts of the paranormal field and what I want to see done with the field. And so I have kind of like some documentaries type thing that I would love to do and test out, some theories I want to test out. And so basically what I'm hoping for is to get into some new businesses, work with some new businesses, and be able to test these theories at these new places that we go to. So that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping my team gets on the same page and that we can all get together and find what we need, who we need, and what we need to be able to go down that road.
Very cool. Are you going to do any live streaming type of events for your ghost walks?
You know, I used to. I haven't done, I mean, honestly, you're probably the first interview I've done in a few months. I used to be very, very active with everything. You know, we did internet shows before. We've done YouTube videos. We had our own talk show. We used to be very, very active. And right before COVID hit, we decided to take a little small break. And then COVID hit, and it ended up being a very big break. And we've been enjoying this break, and we're trying to regroup and refocus. And I was told that if it's something you don't enjoy anymore, not to do it. And there's certain things that I don't enjoy about it anymore, so I want to change it. And like I said, refocus and find my enjoyment in it again, and my passion in it again. And so that's what I've been doing this past year during all this downtime, is refocusing and regrouping and really focusing on where I want to see some changes and prove some theories that I want to do type thing. So hopefully that will all come into play soon. And hopefully we won't be as quiet as we've been over the past year.
Yeah, just to get back out there and have some freedom to do stuff, especially for, investigators and researchers. You know, it doesn't just end with the paranormal investigation. You know, we continue trying to do experiments and research stuff. And the only way we can do that is being out there and doing it. So it's like, come on, we gotta open this thing up and get back to reality. Absolutely.
Yeah, because unfortunately, it's so sad, because 2020 was supposed to be a major year for us. And that was one of the reasons we did step back, was because we were going to focus on some major things that were in the works for us. And then all this stuff happened, mm-hmm. and it was like, okay, now we had some new businesses we were supposed to work with, some other things that were supposed to come through that didn't, and it made us really have to step back and relook at things and go, okay, what do we want to do? And I know where I'm aiming to go, and I'm just hoping that it all comes together now once things start opening back up, because right now a lot of places don't want to let people in and they're closed, and it's just been such a crazy time.
Absolutely. It's unpredictable. It's the unknown. baby steps, you know, again, and it's hopefully we can get further this time. We were doing pretty good towards the end there, and then all of a sudden we had to reset again. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But that's what I was saying, you know, for your virtual tour, you can start doing that, and you can do, like, Eventbrite kind of thing and charge a little bit and give people a virtual tour so they can kind of get the experience at all.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I was going to start doing research on that and then came up and I never finished the research on that one and I ended up forgetting about it, to be honest with you. my focus just went elsewhere. It's like, you know, you get those thoughts in your head and you're like, that's a good idea, and then they just kind of fade somewhere and you don't know where they go. and, you know, that's something we thought of. And like I said, I got all these thoughts written down and all these little post-it notes all over the place, so to say, and it's just getting them organized and moving forward with things, basically, and hopefully we'll see where things land. One thing I can say is that I do have a spot coming up on TV. I don't know when it's going to air. And I've been trying to find out the air date on it, and I haven't been told anything, but it's on the one, it's not the Paranormal Caught on Camera, it's the other paranormal, it's almost the same thing, and my mind just went blank, because there's like two shows that are pretty much almost the same about the paranormal capture thing, and it's going to be on the newer one.
Okay.
And it's going to air on, I guess everything's on Discovery Plus now. So that's going to be on, I don't know when, and I've been trying to get the information on it. But it's going to show a clip of what happened when I was investigating a restaurant here in town, and I have a shadow figure behind me. And that was a very interesting investigation.
Cool.
That was one of the ones that we learned to have the camera on me. And luckily we caught this because of the fact that we did have the camera on me. So it'll be interesting.
And that's going to be on Beyond the Unknown?
No, it's I know I'm looking at my husband. He's like, don't look at me. Paranormal shows that deal with one of them is called Paranormal Caught on Camera. And then the other one is almost the exact same title, but I can't remember it. And it's the one where they have the group of experts that talk about the clips. And it's driving me crazy right now that I can't think of the name. Because I keep wanting to say Paranormal Caught on Camera, but it's not that one. It's almost exactly like it, though. And it's going to be on that one. But I don't have the air date yet. I've been asking and asking, and I'm not getting an answer, and it's driving me crazy not getting an answer. I wish I had more information, and I wish that for some freaking reason I could remember the name of the show. It's right on the tip of my tongue. I hate that.
Beyond the Unknown, because the same thing that does Paranormal Caught on Camera, it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, maybe that is it, Ben.
Yeah, like Susan Slaughter, that show, and Buchano.
Yeah, because I remember the person saying that the experts would sit around and, you know, discuss it and, you know, give their opinions on it and stuff like that.
Cool.
So they're going to use that clip, but I have no clue when. I just know that it got approved and that they're using it. And that's going to be interesting. I've never had any of my clips on TV before, so that'll be interesting to see what they think of it. I know we were trying forever and ever to debunk it. I think my husband and I spent like 3 hours trying to debunk this, because that's the first thing we do is we try to debunk. And we couldn't debunk it because when the shadow disappears, it basically disappears down a hallway, and I mean, there's a wall, so if it would have been a person, you would have saw the person. That's the bottom line. You would have saw the person. So we couldn't debunk it. And that shadow figure ended up actually following me home and actually staying in my house for probably about a week. And with research and figuring everything out, we figured out his name was Carl, and he had committed suicide.
In the house?
And
or
in the restaurant that we were investigating. Well, he didn't commit suicide in the restaurant, but he had strong ties to the restaurant.
Okay.
So that's where he stayed. And he ended up following me home. And for like a week, he was projecting his depression on me. And, yeah, this is why people say I have, you know, abilities or sensitivity and all this stuff. but, yeah, for a week, I felt really, really depressed after that investigation. And my friend May, my co-lead investigator, we did more research into it, and we figured out his name. So I did an EVP session in my own house and asked if it was Carl that was here and what he needed me to do for him. And basically, he confirmed that he was here, and he basically told me I needed to pray for him. So that's what I ended up doing, and then he was gone. And the restaurant had no more issues with him after that, too. So,
cool.
That
maybe
was one of those cases where I felt like I actually did something. Yeah, I'm like, I actually felt like accomplished.
Yeah, that's a story. And it's exactly that. A lot of people go out there and they try to help people. And sometimes you can help them, sometimes you can't. And like I say all the time, paranormal investigation is not just about helping the client. There's a need. And it seems like you came across that and was able to help them find their way and moved on. So that's congratulations.
Yeah, that was one of the cases that I felt good about. And then we had, you know, a residential case that basically was the same thing. There was a spirit there that was making them feel threatened, and I basically got rid of that spirit for them, and they've never had problems with it since. And this family's kept in touch with me ever since the investigation, and they're just so thankful. And anytime I'm feeling down about anything, they remind me how much I helped them, and they're like, "You can't quit. You helped us. We don't know what we would have done without you." And I keep telling them that they're the sweetest people ever, but it just makes you feel good when you can actually make a difference and help. And I'm glad I've been able to do that at least a couple times.
Yeah, that's a huge difference in the world. And that's what it's really all about, to being a paranormal investigator. Helping everybody
and
trying to get that accomplished, because that's a big thing. And that's great that you have the ability to do that and make that contact with them.
Yeah,
excellent.
I try.
Well, all right. So we are coming down to the final minutes of the show. I wanted to thank you for joining us right off the top. And I wish I was living closer to Tucson. I would come totally take your tour. That sounds like a lot of fun. And I hope you do get back to the bird cage when you can.
Yeah, you know, things have just been, you know, kind of slow. But I'm hoping things will pick up here in Changer soon, and we'll get back into it.
Good. For those who might want to reach out to you, what would be the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Well, there's my website of TucsonGhostTour.com. And then basically I'm on every social media outlet out there. You can basically find me under Becky McKitty. Kitty is my maiden name. Guideson is my married name. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. On Facebook, they can also find Tucson Ghost Society and Tucson Ghost Company. And we're pretty easy to find. So it's not very hard to find me. Just Google me and I'll come up.
There you go. For those who want to reach out, for those stories you can go to, once again, TucsonGhostTour.com and sign up and make those reservations, because it's going to be great when we get back to it. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Appreciate it. I put the link up on our social pages as well and in the event pages, so you guys could link to it and check it out. Becky, thank you for spending some time with us. I know it's late over on your side, isn't it? Oh, you guys are only an hour ahead of us, right?
Yeah, we're only an hour difference. Arizona and California right now is only the hour.
Nice, nice. Well, thank you for joining us tonight, then, and we appreciate it, and we'll have to have you come back on the show for a follow-up and see how things are going.
Oh, sounds great, and thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Awesome, and you have a good evening. All right, everybody, that's going to be it for this edition of My Darkest Hour Radio. I have been your host, Stefan Brigati, and we've been talking to Becky McGiddy-Guideson, who is the paranormal investigator and the founder of Tucson Ghost Society, also the owner of Tucson Ghost Company. Like I said, check it out. Go on the ghost tours. Get out there. Have some fun. Get some fresh air. Go spend some time with those spirits because they're missing people too. So with that being said, let's give a shout out to my sponsors for the show. I want to give a shout out to Chili Man Salsa, making the greatest tasting paranormally hot salsa, all flavor all the time with some great heat. Also want to give a shout out to Paranormal Technologies, other words known as P-Tech, Mike Murray and all the guys making all that great equipment, keeping us from running into things and bumping into things in the dark, which we do anyway, but, helping us with our night vision cameras and be able to see the darkness. Give a shout out to Lizzie Wizard Creations, making all those scarves and all those nice winter wear to keep us warm as we are walking around some of those empty asylums and those abandoned hospitals. You know, it's safe. And I also want to give a shout out to our newest sponsor, Daniel's Toy Empire. If you're looking for those true collectibles, he's got them all. I know a lot of them are collecting Ghostbusters stuff, so hit them up, check it out. Great deals and great things all the time from Daniel's Toy Empire. I want to give a shout out to everybody at Live Paranormal, Rob, and everybody making the show happen, all the moderators into the chat rooms that we're talking, and it's cool to see everyone talking about the ghost tours. I also want to give a shout out to History FM, on radio, iTunes, everybody who follows the show, and I hope you can join us for the launch date on March 21st, 2021 on Paraflix for the release of My Darkest Hour TV series. It's going to be great. Whole lot of fun. I'm going to take you on some paranormal adventures like you guys have been watching us do on the social media pages, where you can find us, of course, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. We even have a page for some videos and some photos. TikTok, of course, and, of course, as always, Twitter. Follow us. Keep up to date. You can find us on the YouTube channel as well, our TV series. And that's going to be it for the show. So hope you get a chance to get out there and do some paranormal work. Be safe. Get some fresh air. If you're going to go in a group, social distance, you know, make it easier for everybody. So in the meantime, you guys have a great week. And we'll see you right here on My Darkest Hour on liveparanormal.com.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox Sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
you are listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on liveparanormal.com.
The views expressed here within the programs and chats do not necessarily represent the views of liveparanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media, Stop by now and join in on the fun.